Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? We just spent a good 15 minutes trying to figure out what was wrong when we were trying to record with our new fancy recording setup.
I mean, you're giving me too much credit when you say we, because I was just sitting here looking at swimsuits online. You were the one trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it was mostly me over here acting like I was trying to put together IKEA furniture. Like, it was that same level of frustration where I was like looking at all the cords and unplugging and plugging things back in, and it turned out that our surge protector just wasn't on.
Yeah,
so that's fun.
I mean, at least it was a simple fix. It's better than being like, oh my god, we have to like completely start, you know, we have to like figure out what we're gonna do. At least it was like a quick, like, oh, easy. The switch was on. It was just 15 minutes of hell. It wasn't like an hour of hell trying to figure it out.
Oh god, yeah. And also, I'm so excited, listeners don't care, but I finally went and took everything off of my computer and put it on a hard drive.
Love to hear it.
And I'm just like, the amount of excitement I have, I'm such an audio nerd at this point that I'm like, the amount of excitement I have over the fact that we could talk for hours and my computer's not going to be like, your disk is full. Oh, just
so it's the simple things in our adult lives that really just feel good. Like, Max and I have been so on our dishes the last like week, where like as soon as a dish is dirty, we do the dishes. And like, our kitchen has just been like so clean and wonderful. I'm like, this is what being a grown-up is like.
Walking in and seeing a made bed. Stop it.
I used to make my bed every single day religiously. I've started kind of like slipping out of that, but this is a really weird thing about me. I have to get into a made bed. So even if the bed has been unmade all day, I make it just enough so that when I get in the bed, it's like nice, flat, comfortable sheets.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Like, this is sad that this is what our lives have become, but like, it's the truth.
It is.
Oh, man. Well, anyway.
Anywho, should we talk about some really, really, really horrible things?
Yeah, you should start for sure.
Okay, so I want to talk about the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport today. Well, today, our time, we are recording this Thursday night. It was Thursday morning that we got the news of this event. Two suicide bombers and gunmen attacked crowds at the Kabul airport, which, you remember, last week we discussed the many, many, many Afghan refugees that were fleeing to the airport trying to have a safe flight. I believe, were they flying them to the U.S. with the evacuations?
The U.S. and I believe there were some other countries as well taking
like other
refugees.
Western allies. Mm-hmm. They keep saying things like that. So we did discuss a little bit of this last week. This is a bit of a continuation. They are saying that this is the, what do they say, the worst military attack on our country in like a decade or something like that. 12 service members and at least 60 Afghan people have been killed in two bombing attacks outside the Kabul airport. And apparently U.S. officials have been warning over the past week that there was a major threat of a terror attack at the airport, and that was becoming more and more acute, like it was going to happen. And I was watching the news earlier, and I guess that while there were a lot of people, you know, United States military allies, things like that, that were aware that there could be this huge threat and this terror attack, I guess a lot of just the citizens did not know this. Earlier on Thursday, U.S. diplomats in Kabul warned American citizens to, quote, immediately leave several gates to the airport, citing security threats. It is suspected that this particular ISIS group, which is called ISIS-K, is the group that carried out the suicide attack. And the U.S. officials say that this is most likely the perpetrators, but it is not yet confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like that makes a lot of sense. Of course, this would be a prime target for the Taliban to hit at this time. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't even the Taliban, though. It was this ISIS-K group.
They're not affiliated? Because whenever I was reading some article that said the Taliban, but they may have gotten it wrong. I don't know which source it was.
Yeah,
so
from what I was watching, I think I was watching CNN earlier. I can't remember which news station I was on, but I believe it was a completely different group, but maybe they are in cahoots. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
but
I'm
not
certain
think
either.
That the Taliban and ISIS were like buddy-buddy.
I don't know.
But maybe if they have the same enemy, they're willing to work together. I don't know. But the attack was held in one of the most highly populated areas of the airport. There's a hotel, and then there's also the Abbey Gate of the airport, which is the main entry point to the airport as of right now, and the primary security presence provided by the U.S. Marines. And this is really weird. The surrounding area of the gate was used to house refugees after they passed through Taliban checkpoints outside the airport. So they had to, like, be checked in by the Taliban to make it into where the U.S. Marines were kind of like overlooking everything, which sounds really scary.
Do we know, were the servicemen, the United States servicemen, the target, or were civilians the target, or was it kind of, I mean, surely there had to have been.
I think it was probably more, I mean, I would assume that hurting the U.S. military was probably a really important thing because I think they're trying to kind of amp something up. Right now, well, it kind of seems like it was a very purposeful attack on, you know, like U.S. troops. But then also, I think it was probably more so about its location and its symbolism right now of going to the airport, because it is going to take away the lives of so many citizens as well as U.S. troops. So I think for them, it would just kind of be like, what's going to make the biggest tragedy kind of situation.
Right. I mean, well, if they were trying to amp something up, I think that they definitely did.
Yeah, because President Biden
came in hot.
Came in really to the point where it almost kind of scared me. And I think we're going to talk about what he said. But I feel like a lot of what he's saying is very contradictory to his goal in the long run, which was to get everybody out of Afghanistan by August 31st. But now he's saying, well, let's talk about it. What are some of the things that he said?
So he said, we're outraged as well as heartbroken. And then he went on to say, know this, we will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command.
Yeah, so the we will hunt you down was like on every like scroll news line on every channel.
But to me, that is
that's scary.
It's scary
to me.
Because it does feel like
he's challenging them,
and it feels like we're just going to get sucked back in again. And so it was like, well, what was all this for?
Exactly.
What was all of this for? You know,
because even more so than last week, because we were discussing this, you know, we both have a lot of people in our lives mm-hmm. that we'd known that were in the military in some way, shape, or form. And I can imagine right now, especially with the death of U.S. troops, it really does again feel like what did we do this for?
If right.
This is all just going to start all
and
over
the deaths,
again.
The deaths of U.S. troops who were there, probably sent back in to help facilitate getting civilians out because we so majorly messed
fucked
everything
up, yeah.
up in terms of trying to get them out in the first or get out of Afghanistan in the first place. So now these servicemen have died in our exit strategy, only for the U.S. to most likely be pulled back in some capacity.
Right.
Because now we're vowing retaliation, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels like it's never going to end.
Yeah, they did not plan for this correctly at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, Biden is still saying that he plans on evacuating people and getting the troops out and all this stuff. And to me, that doesn't make any sense.
Like how can we do both? How can we do both? How
he's talking out of both ends right now.
Yeah, I don't see how we can hit back and also get out.
Yeah, and he was also talking about how like there will be an attack from the U.S. and it will be essentially, he was saying, like under our conditions, in a place, in a time, in a manner that will be of our deciding. And I'm like, that's a lot of big talk for who we're dealing with right now. I feel like especially Biden being father of, you know, a military son. And did he fight as well in the military?
I can't remember. We definitely talked about his service. I'm not, or lack thereof. I'm not sure that he actually was active duty.
Right. I know his son was, though.
His son was.
So I think that there's a lot of very strong emotions in him as well. And I feel like we saw a lot of those really strong emotions come out in what he said, and I feel like I wish he would have taken a bit more time to collect himself before he spoke, because it did really, really seem
never been his strong suit.
No. But it really did, the way he said it. As much as I agree with him and the sentiment, and we have to protect ourselves and defend ourselves, like yes, I totally get that. But I also am aware of the fact that these terror groups are also watching everything, and they know everything that's going on, and they will see this as a challenge and as a threat.
Well, I wonder what Biden is really thinking right now, because his administration was under so much scrutiny and so much criticism because of the situation in Afghanistan, because of the mishandling of the exit strategy from Afghanistan. And I don't think that he was used to that. I think that was kind of the first time that he'd been experiencing that kind of criticism on that level.
Yeah.
So for this to happen as well, I can imagine he is running at a state of high emotion.
Totally.
But at the same time, I mean, he had to have had that approved, what he was getting ready to say. So somebody knew he was going to get up there and say that. And
there maybe there was another, like, they were thinking maybe if you sound tougher, they're going to take it this way.
Some kind
maybe
of strategy.
We don't know. You know?
I'm sure that there was a strategy involved, but it does. And I'm sure that that's what a big chunk of Americans wanted to hear, right? Yeah. Like they want that post 9/11 tough
we're
guy.
We're going to get them.
Talk. And I understand that again from an emotional standpoint. Yeah. Like this is, it's heartbreaking. It's scary. It's sad.
Yeah.
To see what's happening right now. But it also makes me very nervous because I'm like, are we going to get thrown into something else? Are we going to make it worse?
Yeah.
Are we going to make it worse?
And how is it ever going to end? Because clearly when we tried to make it end, it completely blew up in our faces.
Because we didn't do it the right way at all. And we didn't prioritize the safety and well-being of the Afghani people from the beginning.
I wonder if part of it was just it being rushed. You know, I feel like the goal of having everybody out by September 11th was very symbolic and a beautiful, you know, message and intention. But I wonder if taking them out as quickly as they did was a major factor. Because to me, it kind of seems like, you know, you were kind of pulling the baby out of the bathwater. Is that even a word?
I don't know if that is a phrase, but
there's something with, oh no, it's like throw out the baby in the bathwater.
Yeah.
That's not what I was going for, but you understand what I mean.
I do understand what you
like,
mean.
Like, I feel like they were just pulling everyone out of there too quickly to the point where there was no way of protecting everything that they quote unquote built over the last 20 years.
No.
So all of it's just immediately come crashing down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's horrible. I really, really feel for all the families and friends that were, you know, that knew people who perished today. I truly, truly, even more so for the U.S. troops, and don't hate me for saying that, but I truly feel for the Afghan people and
fear
and the uncertainty
of
what's happening.
Too, you know, and
like
again,
we're safe over here. It scares me what's going on over there for all of those people.
Any loss of life is horrible. And of course, like the way that I see it, I'm just like, wars, they always feel preventable. I know that they're not always preventable, but they feel like they should be. And so any loss of life fucking sucks. But when it's civilians who did not sign up to see combat, like, you know, who
and
are in the middle.
And they're escaping to the airport to be freed in some way, to get
in the
help.
Middle of a war zone.
Yeah.
Like that's, of course, like it's absolutely horrifying and it's sad. And it does make you think about the only thing that's separating us from being in that position is having the privilege of being born in a relatively safe, stable environment.
I know.
Like that is the only thing. I mean, you can't demonize a refugee because it's just like they were born somewhere that's in conflict.
Yeah.
And like that's, it sucks. It just feels like it's just luck of the draw. It's just you flip a coin and your life could be completely different. And I think that that's what makes that kind of loss of life or watching that kind of thing like so hard.
And you know, there's a lot of talk about the 12 service members that passed away and a lot less talk about the 60 Afghan people that lost their lives.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel for everybody. I feel for all of the families involved.
Especially, it's too much death.
I will say as somebody who's got a lot of family in the military, my dad served several tours, including in Afghanistan. My heart does go out to those family members because like, I'm sure that they thought we're almost done.
We're almost there. Yeah.
Right. You know, and they're going to get to come home and everything. And so for it to happen at this time,
devastating.
Just
I know.
Awful.
20 years later.
Here we are. Well, okay. I'm going to talk about something that is, it's not funny, but it is lighter than, it's not hard to be lighter than what we were just talking about,
yeah,
but it
true,
is
true.
Also gonna annoy you.
Okay, good.
So here there was a Florida couple who earlier this month was arrested for traveling to Hawaii with fake COVID vaccination cards. Did you hear about this?
No.
So Hawaii currently has a safe travels program in place that says that visitors have to submit a vaccination card or
that
a negative,
I didn't know.
Yeah. negative coronavirus test taken no more than 72 hours before a trip. If they don't do that, they will have to quarantine for 10 days upon arrival. So a Florida couple was arrested in Hawaii after allegedly presenting fake COVID-19 vaccination cards for themselves and their two children. Creating or using falsified versions of government documents, such as COVID-19 vaccination cards, is illegal and a punishable offense, according to the FBI.
Oh, boy.
So Enzo Dalmazzo, who's 43, and his wife, Daniela Dalmazzo, who's 31, they were taken into custody shortly after they arrived in Honolulu. And they were taken into custody because, this is also part of it, like, they're also so incredibly stupid. So they got there, and then the officials were kind of like looking at their vaccination things, and they were like, this seems strange, because their children were born in 2016 and 2017, and therefore are too young to have vaccination mm-hmm. cards, because you have to be over the age of 12 to get vaccinated at this time.
Right.
So that's how they got caught. Is that
so
they're
like, your kids did not get vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, we're going to have to take a closer look at these vaccination cards because there's no way that your kids were vaccinated.
But how can you tell that they're fake? I mean, I haven't really held mine in a while, but like, is there a stamp on it where it's like indented? Like, how would you be able to tell that it's fake?
I don't know. I mean, there has to be a way to tell that it's fake because there is a CDC seal. And that's why it's considered a federal offense, is because there is like a government agency's seal on our vaccination cards.
Right.
And so faking that is a, you know, it's illegal.
It's a big no-no. Yeah. So what's happening to them now?
So they were charged. Enzo was charged with one count of presenting false documents, and Denzella was charged with three, or Daniela. Wow.
I was like, Denzella. It's Daniela, like if Denzel was...
Dalmazzo. It's hard for... I was like, okay. They ran together. But she was charged with three counts, two of which relate to the children. I don't know why she was charged with the children's counts.
That seems a bit sexist
doesn't
to me.
It?
I'm not going to lie. It's like, we're not going to put it on the dad because it was probably the mom.
Yeah, they're like,
the
dad's
cars.
Probably an idiot. The mom's the mastermind here, you know? Like,
yeah, that seems a little crazy.
Yeah,
to me,
no, it definitely feels sexist in the way that like they're like, well, they're children. Anything to do with the children has to be
the mother's responsibility. Yeah.
So they were jailed on a total bail of $8,000. So for both of them, $8,000, which doesn't seem like very much, but I mean, I guess it's not like a violent crime,
right?
Well, I mean,
it could be.
It could be.
If you spread COVID, potentially people die. I guess that
COVID
is
around.
Violent, but it's a passively violent crime.
Right.
It's not an actively violent
crime. Right, right. So they have since been released, but Hawaii's attorney general does want to make it very clear that falsifying a vaccination card carries a fine of up to $5,000 and or imprisonment of up to a year. So they could possibly see jail time, especially if she has three counts. So there's a possibility that she could end up in jail.
Wow.
For up to, I don't know if it's a year on each count or if it's a year total.
I mean, it's got to go to trial and all that kind of stuff for that to even happen. I wonder what's...
Or at least before a judge or something. Yeah.
Right. Like, I wonder what's in line.
I don't know. But I didn't, you know, I really considered going off on Florida, as we do. You know, because it's always like, of course it's a Florida couple.
Right.
But before we get too high and mighty,
not going to lie, is the first thing I thought when you were like, there was this Florida couple. And I was like, of course.
Of course. It's
like, I'm not everyone from Florida, but Florida as a whole,
not
like,
all Floridians.
Y'all be fucking up
y'all
as
be
a whole,
tripping.
Man. Like,
mm-hmm. There's a reason why it's a stereotype.
Yep.
But before we get too high and mighty, there was a father and son from California who were also arrested in Honolulu last week for attempting to use fake COVID-19 cards.
What part of California?
That was my first thought too.
Because you get out of LA and you're like in Trump country.
I'm like,
you know?
they're definitely from like the middle, right?
Yeah. Or like even even like the Bay Area and stuff sometimes can be like, you know, once you get outside the city.
Or if they're up towards Portland or up towards Oregon. Like, yeah. I feel like, I really do feel like people have this idea that California is super, super progressive, but it's really only the cities.
Like, right, because LA is so overpopulated mm-hmm. and San Francisco and places yeah. like that that are super liberal have so many people in them that we kind of make the state blue, I feel like. I just like totally ate the microphone. Yeah. But like if you go outside of LA, like when I was driving to like wine country, I mean, this was like right after the Trump election, there was like Trump signs everywhere.
Oh yeah. Go to Lake Arrowhead. Go to Lake Arrowhead.
Oh, and that's not even that Trump country.
It's not even that far away. No. You know?
We would drive around there during the pandemic just to like get different scenery, but like go to Lake Arrowhead for a day and drive around. It's not far at all.
Yeah. I mean, and it's beautiful, but it's definitely a different vibe. And if you look at a map of California broken down between red and blue areas, it's definitely more red than blue. It's just that the blue areas are highly populated.
Yeah.
So it turns the whole state blue. But yeah, the authorities were given a tip by community members. Who
that
got
would
them
be
charged,
me,
which I think is so great. Like there was somebody who's like, they called and they were like, listen, my neighbor Gary and his son are unvaccinated and they're traveling to Hawaii.
That would be me 150%. You know, I would be the one to call the cops and be like, these bitches are up to something.
Yeah, because you know, this father and son duo were probably posting some wild anti-vax shit on their Facebook and then they were like headed to Hawaii. And people were like, 9-1-fucking-1.
And there was like one person on Facebook that was just like, you know what? I've never liked you.
Yeah, you know what? This is a bridge too far. Yeah.
I love the shade. It's too good.
So basically just stop being dicks, you guys. Seriously. Like if you don't want to get vaccinated,
Then don't take trips.
But you don't get to go to Hawaii then. Hawaii said no.
Yeah. Okay? Hawaii don't want you. I know Mexico is, I don't know about the vaccination cards, but I have a coworker that is going to be going to Mexico and they had to get their COVID tests within 72 hours of leaving, or else again the same thing, they would have to like quarantine once they got there,
right?
And
I mean,
like that.
That's just how it is. Look, I've seen so many TikToks and things of people being like, my freedoms are being taken away, you can't steal my freedoms. It's like, no one's stealing your freedoms. They're saying you are free to be vaccinated or not, but people have the right to make rules about what you can and can't do then. Like, so you are free to get vaccinated or not, but you are not free to go to Hawaii unvaccinated. They said no. Like, other businesses are going to be able to make that determination for themselves.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. We had an older woman come into the store last week and she wasn't wearing a mask. And so my friend was like, oh, you need to wear a mask when you're in the store. And she's like, legally, you can't tell me to do that.
Yes, you can.
And we were like, yeah, we're a business mm-hmm. and we have a sign on our door that says that everybody who wants to enter needs to be wearing a face covering.
Yeah, that's it. Them's the rules for being in here. It's just like no shirt, no shoes, no service. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's the exact same thing. And if you're like, oh, we have to support small businesses and small businesses' rights to make decisions about what they do, then you have to also support that there are going to be some places you cannot go.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going to work. And again, it's not taking away your freedoms. You are free to put whatever you want in your body or not.
Right. But if you're not going to get vaccinated, you're unfortunately going to have to still follow the rules.
Right. You're gonna have to deal with the consequences of that. If states or cities or whoever are like, you can't come here, then you don't get to go there. Sorry about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is.
And if a store wants you to wear a mask, just wear a fucking mask and
don't go there.
So your nose is hanging out. Like that has been, it's been worse than the chin diaper for me lately. People just wearing the mask around their mouth.
I went to Starbucks today and to pick up some coffee, obviously.
I was going to say, what else were you doing at Starbucks?
Yeah, exactly. What else would I be doing there? I don't know, but I went on a walk because I was like, I got to get out of this house. And I walked to Starbucks and there was a guy sitting in Starbucks who had his mask hanging off of his ear. And I was like, why do you even have it? Like, I know.
And it makes things difficult too, because like when people come into the store and they have it just around their mouth or something, I can't say you have to wear a mask because they are wearing a mask. Like, and I don't know what to say to those people, because then I feel like do I say wear your mask correctly? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do in that situation when someone like does have a mask and is technically wearing it, but not properly.
Yeah. I mean, you wearing it like that isn't helping us.
It's not doing a goddamn thing. Anything.
I know. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what the solution is at this point. Like, I'm hearing reports of other countries that are like, oh, this country has no cases of COVID.
I know.
And I'm like, that's amazing.
I know.
Because I don't think we're ever, it's just going to be something we have to live with forever.
Oh my God. Did you see Trump getting booed at a rally?
Yes. Oh, beautiful.
Oh my gosh. He was like, I got vaccinated. I think you all should too.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And then everybody immediately, like, it gets quiet for a second. There's this boo.
He's yeah,
like, but you have your freedoms. You have your freedoms,
and I'm happy you have your freedoms. Like, yeah. He backpedals so hard.
But even like, Fox News right now has like a mandatory vaccination thing going on, and I'm like, okay, so then does everybody on the right now see that this is just like bullshit they're feeding you, and that they're all vaccinated themselves?
No, I don't know, man. It has become so deeply entrenched in our culture at this point, like, because there were a lot of people who were like, well, I just think it was rushed and it's not safe and it's not FDA approved. And so
it's FDA approved now, exactly.
So the Pfizer vaccine and the BioNTech vaccine have both come out and said, you know, we're approved by the FDA now. And so Biden was like, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. And all the anti-vaxxers were like, still no. Mm-hmm. Still no.
Oh, did we say we wanted the FDA to approve it? Oh, we actually wanted XYZ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was just an excuse. They are still not going to do it. So
honestly, the thing that sucks, though, is that if they don't get vaccinated, more and more people who are not vaccinated are going to be more likely to die. Like, I feel like Trump realizes that, like, he's going to lose all of his supporters because none of them are getting vaccinated. And they're all just going to die.
I really do think that that's part of it. I really think that that's part of it, is that they're realizing that it's their base who's being hit the hardest by this.
Yeah.
Because there was a turn in the tide like a month or so ago where Republican governors who had previously been like, yeah, your freedoms, open everything back up, we're not going to do mask mandates, all that stuff, did start releasing like ads on TV where they were like, get the vaccine, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that they're doing that because they realize that a lot
they're losing their fans.
Yeah. Like the voting public who would be voting for you in the next election, like, is getting sick.
It's totally too late though, because all of the damage has been done over the last like year and a half. These people have their heels dug so deep that they're like, no, I'm not getting the vaccine.
No, because again, it's nonsensical at this point. It's
not about one or two people from that side saying that it's okay. Like, it's just part of like a belief system now.
Right. It's just political at this point. And I really don't think that there is anything that we can do.
No, we just got to wait for them all to die.
I mean, it's just going to, I don't know.
I don't mean that callously. I meant to say it like somewhat funnily. I don't really want people to die. But honestly, at the rate we're going, that's the only way this is going to happen. It's like natural selection is just kind of like taking place right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. And, you know, I have people very close to me and my family who are not vaccinated.
I know.
It's upsetting, but you can't hold somebody down and stick a needle in their arm and make them do it. Like,
no.
You can't do it.
For so exactly just, the reason that we do have our freedoms. I just wish that more people would care.
It means, unfortunately, that there are going to be some really devastating outcomes.
I
and
know.
It's scary for me, and it's scary, I think, for everybody. But them's the breaks, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it really sucks because they are putting people who don't have the ability to get vaccinated, including children, at greater risk.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Definitely. Oh, I know. I feel like I've said this a million times, but if you're not vaccinated and you can, please get vaccinated.
I mean, and don't stop. I still try. You know, I do still try. I know that it's futile for the most part, but if you can, do try and convince the people in your life who aren't vaccinated that they should get vaccinated. Do your best. I know that it's...
I mean, at this point, what's the worst that can... I don't know. Like, I just don't understand the fear level of it, personally. I'm just like, why...
They're getting a lot of misinformation. I see it a lot in comment sections on, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
On Instagram, on Facebook.
Or they like to focus on, like, the 1% of deaths that have occurred. Like, I had a customer who is vaccinated. She's got to be, like, in her 50s or something. And she said her two daughters don't want to get vaccinated because they don't want to die from it. And I was like, well, I'd rather not die from COVID. And the woman was like, me too.
Your likelihood of dying from COVID
are greatly. So much higher. Yeah.
Yes. Because the thing is, any medication that you give, you could give, you know, if you gave the entire population aspirin, somebody would have a bad reaction to it. Like
100%. Yeah.
It's not. It's just there's so much misinformation out there.
I know.
And people truly believe this, and it makes me sad because
I know
they really believe it. It's not as though they're just making a point. Like, yes, it's political, but also they have real fears based in reality or not.
Totally.
Based on true information or
which
not.
Which makes it impossible for people like you and I to get through to them because that fear is so strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. But
Well, I mean, I know that our listeners are probably like, we get it. COVID sucks. Stop talking about it.
We need to talk about it.
But yes, we're just processing, you know, processing our feelings. And we hope we're kind of helping you process your feelings too, because this is something that just keeps rearing its ugly head and making it very difficult to like lead a normal life or move on.
I was
going
to say there's no way to live life normally right now. And I feel like, especially because at least I felt like we were so close to living a much more normal life. And now I'm going back to having a lot of the same fears and paranoias that I had before. You know, I feel a little better. I'm vaccinated. I know that, you know, I'm more likely to be safe. But I feel like a lot of that fear has come back. And that's what's so upsetting to me and why I keep talking about it. Because yeah. It's just not ending.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, that's probably all that we have time for today, correct?
Correct. I was going to talk about their Nirvana baby, but we'll do that another time.
Oh my God. Can you believe that? Max and I were talking about it this morning. I mean, can we talk about it for like 2 seconds?
Yeah, because we can talk about it for a couple seconds.
This fucking guy has made his whole life about being the baby on the Nirvana cover. And now he has the fucking audacity to say it's child porn.
Okay.
Now, if he had never celebrated it and been like embarrassed by it his whole life and didn't like make it his defining personality trait, I would believe him. I'd be all for it. I would say, yes, if you are not okay with it, I understand the child pornography stuff. Let's get mad. But this guy sucks.
Well, I don't know, because he did say, but he did have an interview when he in like 2008, which would have put him, he's around my age, would have put him in high school where he was like, it's pretty cool. But then he had another interview in like 2016 where he said like, actually, like, it's been really weird that this has been kind of like my defining thing.
He redid the photo as an adult.
Well, I mean, I get it. I do. But I get it from both sides, because it can be something that like is your defining characteristic and that's kind of like a cool fun fact about yourself, and also something that you lament being like the thing that is your defining characteristic, especially since it doesn't seem like he got compensated very well
right.
for it.
Right. See, that's the thing that I would understand, but at the same time,
calling it child porn, I think, is really pushing it.
I think it's pushing it because also it was, I mean, naked babies are everywhere. You know what I mean? I personally don't think that, you know, that wasn't a child in a compromising position or, you know, anything that I would deem as being inappropriate. It was just a baby in a swimming pool. For me, I guess just because of like the photos that I've seen and the way that he's kind of like built himself up sure. to be this thing. And then like, I also heard that he invited the band to come to some art opening and they didn't come. And then he was like going off on them about it. And like, well, like he's just been kind of shady.
Yes.
Is what I've heard.
I agree. But I think that maybe I take a little bit more of a nuanced stand on this for a couple of reasons. One is that he didn't get compensated the way that he should have. I feel, because I'm like, this is an iconic record. It's an iconic album cover.
Every album cover, that's every book cover.
Yeah, but not like every album cover had your dick out. And I understand he's a baby.
But the thing is that you signed the paper to essentially be a featured extra.
Well, his parents did.
Well, his parents did. Right. But I'm saying in general, when you are agreeing to be on, you know, the cover of an album or to be on the cover of a book or something like that, like, you're typically not paid that well. Like, that's just kind of part of the gig.
Which I understand completely, but I also feel like, okay, if he's asking you to give him money, just give him money. Because, like, you've made...
greedy to me.
Why? I'm like, they've made so much money on that album. So much money. And the agreement was, he's saying initially, the agreement was that they were going to put a sticker over his penis and they didn't do it. So I'm like, so they went back on their initial agreement. They made
millions.
Okay,
that's
that's true. That's of dollars up. On this album. If he's asking for some money, I would just give it to him, to be honest.
Give him some money, that's fine. But to me, and again, I could totally be needing to do more research on this. To me, it seems like, oh, this might be really mean for me to say, but like he's in a tough spot and wants some money. So he's using this as a way to create publicity for himself and get money.
Sure. I mean, and that may be the case, but also I think it presents a really interesting conversation around something that I think is going to be happening more and more.
Right.
Which is that with the this is unique because it was pre-social media, but with the birth of social media and parents posting things of their children online, like I think a lot about like YouTube family bloggers and things like that.
Yeah, you can't post videos but and they photos
do,
of
but
stuff.
But they do all the time. And they talk about their kids' experiences. They talk about their kids' first period. They talk about like all of these things and show them on camera and show lots of like could be considered compromising videos and photos of them. I think we're going to see the birth of a lot more people grow up and say, like, you shouldn't have put a picture of me naked in the bathtub on the internet.
I also feel like that's more this kid's parents' problem than it is Nirvana's problem.
Sure. Then. Yeah. I mean, sure. I would agree with that as well. But I mean, I do think that it's probably a money grab, but I do think that there's a valid thing to be said about like if it was
totally,
if there was a picture of me as a toddler, like naked on an album cover that was
famous,
massively famous that people had posters of.
I was going to say like probably wall. Some girl like, he's dated had the poster up in her room. Yeah, like it'd like, be so awkward, but like
it would be.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't want to come off as being callous about that issue because I'm not. It's more so about this particular person.
Sure.
Because obviously I believe that child pornography is an issue. I do believe in protecting a child's.
I don't think that this was child pornography though.
Exactly. Yeah, so for me, it's just more like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad. Once you mentioned that, I was like, no, I need to talk about this.
Okay, good. I wanted to discuss it because I do think that it is more nuanced than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Because I do think people are automatically saying like, oh, this is such a money grab. And I do think it is. But I do think that there's a conversation to be had around the whole subject of
right.
it. You know, and while we're at it, let's have a conversation about compensating people appropriately to begin with.
Like, totally.
People who you're using on the cover of your albums and stuff like that, all of those things, you should be compensating them better than you are.
Right. Just because that's how it is doesn't mean that's how it always should be. Yeah. I agree. All right. Well, that is everything now, finally, that we have for you today. If there's anything that you would like us to discuss in the future, please email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can go ahead and rate and review us on the business page and chat with the fellow listeners on the group page. And last but certainly not least, we would so appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us so much and it makes our day. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.